burden is so heavy on me, I can't, I'm sick in my stomach, very weak and trembling, but I know the Lord wants me to do this, and I pray you would pray for me, because it's hard to say the things that the Lord has laid on your heart sometimes. But I have a burden for the unsaved that are present here this morning and for those who are away from the Lord. And it's such, I don't know how to express it this morning. I have a thought about darkness and light. And I'd like to turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter.
Yes, praise the Lord.
This says in the 17th verse, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." I'm thinking this morning of the great darkness that has come over the souls of men who have not given themselves unto the Lord. Look over in Isaiah, the 59th chapter, for a minute. In my mind, I have a vision, and Isaiah expresses it so well here. Isaiah 59. The whole chapter is about the sinful condition of man.
Yes, that's right.
The 9th verse says, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men." Now turn over to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And the 3rd verse, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and our souls your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In my mind, I have such a vision of an unsaved soul, how he gropes in darkness. Can you imagine? As one blind who is trying to walk, just like one who has sight in this world. He has no vision, yet he's stumbling along. He doesn't know if there's a wall there or not, and he's groping for it, and he can't see. And maybe to his left or right in front of him is a deep precipice, and he could stumble in that. He has no vision. There are things before and around. You think of someone maybe blind, walking through a forest, or just running, just headlong through a forest, and he runs into trees, and he gets his hair tangled in the branches, and he gets bloody all over, yet he knows it not. There's a scripture in Hosea I read, and it shocked me so much, the condition of man, Hosea, the 7th chapter. Lord bless us. And the 9th verse is talking about the sinful condition. It says, "Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not." Also in the scripture there in Proverbs, 23rd chapter, it says, "They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine," it's talking about that kind of person. And it says he, in the 34th verse, he says, "One that lieth on the top of a mast." I just think of the ignorance. It says the ignorance that is in them. A soul away from the Lord, their understanding the things that they think about, their understanding is dark. There is no perception of right and wrong. And believe me, even though you've been taught, there is something that comes upon you when you turn away from the Lord. Your thoughts start going in a different direction.
Yes.
There is a darkness that comes upon you. If you can't imagine a seemingly unawareness of what I am doing, my condition, my spiritual condition, I have no feeling of, I begin to have no feeling if this is pleasing in the sight of the Lord or not. Those who do have light irritate me, and that their understanding, I don't understand them, and I can't get along with them, and I feel uncomfortable in their presence. This is the condition that comes upon a soul if they've never been saved or if they've turned away from the life that they once had. One that has never been saved, think about them. The Lord will deal. It says, this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The Lord will deal with, we had it in Sunday school this morning, something inside a man, his conscience, is a law unto himself. And he has understanding by that. He has a deep inner feeling that when I do something, it makes me feel bad, and I don't know why. This is a man who's never understood the way of the Lord. But there are people here who have been taught this way all of their lives, and they've had these truths ground into them, and just they've been saturated with it. And they turn away. Jesus says, the light that is in them is darkness. How great is that darkness? There is a darkness that comes upon a soul that turns away from the Lord that is so dangerous my mind cannot even comprehend it. They don't understand anymore. Just the simple things of salvation. You'll be surprised. Someone who turns away from the Lord, they don't understand things like the blood of Jesus cleanses me. They lose that. They lose things like, oh Lord, they lose things like, I have a choice. I can choose to do. They start thinking that this is natural to me to do wrong. This is me. This is the way. They don't seem to understand that I can be saved. I can live a holy life. There's an understanding that comes. There's a lack of understanding that comes. And I don't know if you've ever read any of John Bunyan's writings, but I was reading in one of his books called The Holy War, and something really stood out to me. And I wrote it down with this burden on my heart. Now, this book, I haven't read all the way through it. I'm just beginning, but already the thoughts in there have really filled my mind of how there is a city named Mansoul. Now, get your mind to thinking here. The city is named Mansoul. It's surrounded by a wall. There are four gates: the eye gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate, and the nose gate. The city belongs to one El Shaddai, or the king, the great glorious God. He built the city for his own delight, and he inhabited it at the very beginning. And the inhabitants of the city served him. They were happy there. The laws of the city were all good. One day, a giant with his army, his name was Diabolus, or the devil, got his army together and made an attack on this city. Now, I'm going very fast. There are things that are involved here, but they came up to the ear gate and for days camped there and shouted loudly into the city through the ear gate. They had one, I forget the name of the one, the trumpeter, that shouted into the city. There were several mayors or marshals or headmen of the city. One of them was Lord Understanding. He was the mayor, one of the mayors of the city. And he, if you can imagine, Understanding, the mayor of Mansoul, one of the captains there. One of them was Innocence. One of them was Resistance. When the Diabolus first made his attack, one of the first things that happened was one of the archers shot and killed Resistance, and he fell over the wall. Then the city was yet more vulnerable to the attack of Diabolus. The next thing that happened was Innocence fell dead at the shock of seeing Resistance dead. He fell over, and then there was no Resistance. Innocent left the soul, and there were the army of Diabolus was free to enter the city and take over the city. One of the first things they did, they shut Lord Understanding up in a room. They not only shut him up, here's what this says, yet Diabolus thought not fit to let him abide in the former luster and glory, because he was a seeing man. Wherefore he darkened it, not only taking from him his office and power, but by building an high and strong tower just behind the sun's reflections and the window of his palace, by which means his house and all and the whole of his understanding was made dark as darkness itself. Thus, being alienated from the light, he became as one that was born blind. This is the condition of a soul that turns away from the Lord. When the devil makes his attack upon you, say you're an innocent young woman raised among the camp of the saints, and you maybe have a desire as a little child, and you dress the way your parents want you to dress, and you do all these things. There's a danger along there of not really getting some things inside your heart. If you don't get some things right down inside your heart, you will go away from that after a while. Imagine now a young, innocent young woman. She comes along into this evil, evil world. She does not know what's out there. She's raised among this very, very pure environment of her parents, family altar. And Diabolus makes an attack on her heart. The first thing that falls usually is resistance. The things that once appeared good to me among the camp of the saints, I sought after them. I loved them. I enjoyed the camp meetings. They produced in me a fear of doing wrong. And I resisted that. I resisted wrong, and I stood true. I believed in what my parents taught me, and I felt strongly about that. Sure you do. You're raised like that. I felt strongly. Diabolus makes his attack here, and he will shoot your resistance right down. And then the next thing that falls is young woman's innocence. It bothers me when I think of the ignorance that then comes. The understanding is put in a room, darkened, a wall built over the window, and the soul is left to the wiles and the whims of Diabolus, the devil. What an awful situation here. The soul then knows what is happening. Diabolus can do anything to that soul that he wishes, tear and maul it to pieces, and the understanding darkened, getting darker every day. There's another point here. One of the headmen of the city was Conscience. He was a very vocal man. He made his cry whenever the city would yield one way or another to the walls of Diabolus. He would cry out against it. Finally, Diabolus got tired of it. After he had entered the city, he shut him up also. And then he made the city, he influenced the city of Mansoul against this man. He said, he's crazy. Don't listen to Conscience. Don't listen to him. And every time that Conscience would cry out against the things that were being done after Diabolus had entered the city, Diabolus would say, don't listen to him. He's crazy. He's old-fashioned. Don't listen to him. And by, the cries of Conscience became silenter and more silent and more silent until they died away and the city was left to the whims of the devil. That's as far as I've got in the story. But, oh, if you could understand the things that will happen and are happening as a soul progresses away from the Lord, the things that happen, the understanding becomes dark. And I thought of things that I thought, Lord, those people just don't understand. And I thought of the sweetness that comes to us as we live for the Lord, as we yield to His Word. The Lord produces not only the things that we have heard since we were children, but strong convictions in our own soul. how sweet it is to be walking along in the law of the Lord and to be wanting to serve Him as a young person. Oh, I want to say here that the young years of your life are the most important. I know you've heard that. But if you don't live for the Lord while you're young, if you're away from the Lord while you're young, you've missed it. You have missed it. You can never regain those years. There are truths and lessons you can learn while you're young. The Lord can show them that will never leave you. But if you turn away from the Lord while you're young, you have missed it. You have missed it. There are lessons you'll never learn. If you leave the Lord in your youth and then return to Him, there are things that the Lord can never reach you on. I believe I could say that. Because in your youth, the Lord deals with you inside. What you are. The way you were raised. What makes you think. He deals with you. You lend your life to Him, He will come into your heart and make you understand things about yourself and how I can live in this world and please the Lord. Those are sweet things to an individual. The Lord can come in. You've been taught this is a church. You know, we believe this is the church of God. But have you as a young person ever had a vision of the church? Has the Lord ever come to you and just increased that knowledge so much and you just think about it all the time? Oh, how sweet is the church? And you think about, you read your word and it becomes alive to you and you believe for yourself, this is the church of God. I know because I said it here in the word and the Spirit reveals it to me and I see the Spirit working. And these are sweet things to an individual. And I think of a young woman as she's coming along, been taught that it's pleasing to the Lord that I dress a certain way. Have you ever had the Lord just come and reveal that to you? Even though you've been taught that, He will come and reveal why and how much and how far to go and what not to do. He'll reveal that to you personally. And it will be sweet to you. And you'll just love to do it. And you just say, oh, how wonderful. I can dress modest. The Lord will reveal why to you. Why? And it'll be a why so strong that you won't leave that for anything. Because the Lord revealed to me why I do this. And it's so sweet to me that I would not leave this. The Lord reveals to us the reason why we dress modest. It's a protection for us sweet, innocent young sisters against the world, against the evil men of the world, the ones that have already lent themselves to diabolus. Our modesty is a protection. It's the only protection we have. You're not safe to walk down the street anymore unless you have the Lord and your modesty. Those are the two things that will protect you as a young woman. And if you give yourself away and start taking those things off and throw down that what you've been taught and start revealing your form and your body, you are subject and open to the wiles of one who knows more than you do about evil and about innocence. He knows how to come down and take away your very innocence. Take it away. He's schooled in it. He does it every day to young women. Young men, the same way. I've never seen an age where the young men are so fashion conscious and proud of the way they look and about the way their bodies look. I've never seen an age. It makes me fear and shake for the young men of our age. They're becoming like the women are. Proud. Is my hair just right? Does it look just perfect? That's womanish. If I do say so myself, it is. It's something that the devil has pulled over on people's eyes to make them so aware of myself. The Lord, as you yield yourself to Him, He'll make you aware of His pleasure and not the pleasure of the world. You will be so aware of what the Lord thinks of me and so unaware of what the world thinks of me that it will be so sweet to you to dress just like He wants you to dress. It's sweet today. Have you ever just had the Lord reveal to you? I'm thinking of the way the light shines into one's mind. Maybe you're meditating on a scripture and the light just comes so sweetly. It'll just come in. Your mind is open and the light will come in and it finds a lodging there. and you walk in that, you're satisfied and content. There's no thirsting for anything else. The light has been shown to me, and I am content to walk in that. It's a wonderful way. I think of when you serve the Lord as you're young, He'll deal with you about yourself and about your little ways that offend Him and conflict with others. He'll deal with you about that, and there's a reason. I found it out even before and after I was married. Those little things the Lord deals with you, the convictions He places on your heart, He has someone else in mind that's going to be joined with you in life, and you're going to be united together. That's why He deals with you in a certain way, and if you allow Him to deal with you, when He brings you to the one that He has chosen for you, He will have dealt with them in the same way. He will bring you together. You will be united. You will have a wonderful home because you allow the Lord to deal with you. That is the reason why we must yield to the Lord on the little checks. He doesn't only have us in mind. He has our companion, and not only them, but the children, the little children that we bring into the world. Those things that the little children come into a home that is not divided, full of love and attention toward each other, and affections not turned to the self, but turned outward into Christ. The little child comes into that home, and oh, what a happy place it can be, because the ones that parented them allow the Lord to deal with their hearts. Oh, this is such a wonderful picture in my mind, and I find it in reality every day, I can see how the Lord dealt with me way back there to bring me to the place where I am now. Another reason why He'll deal with you and bring light and understanding to your mind is because He has a place for you in His work someday, young person. And if you allow the Lord to deal with you now, and you may think, I don't know why I have to do this. Why did the Lord show me that? No one else does it. He has a special place for you in His work, that He will call upon you because you submitted to Him while you were young. He will bring something blessed to pass in your later years that you will be so glad that I followed the Lord here. The Lord made me to understand this there, and now I know why. Now it's revealed to me in a deeper and more richer way. Oh, I think about the darkness that is in a soul as they turn away from the Lord, and the comparison of the light that we have this morning. Dear young people that are not saved, I love you this morning. I have a deep love for you because I understand, the Lord's helped us to understand what goes on in your mind, the things that you think about and why you're like you are. The Lord can help you if you think that I have problems in me that I had no way of changing because they were brought upon me by the way I was raised or what kind of influences I had. The Lord can bring you to a place where you humble down to Him, and He can change you. He can change what you are way down inside. He can make you perfect and whole and complete. I've thought about why young women give their bodies away to the lust of this flesh and lose their virginity at an early age. The Lord seemed like He's helped me to understand that there is a longing there for love and affection in a young woman and in a young man. And they long for it. They want someone to have pleasure in them, and they want someone to love them. And the devil uses that against them. He'll use it against you. He'll put you in a position where he'll say, this is the way you get that love and attention. And you'll lose your innocence, just like that. He uses a natural desire in you to take away the very thing that makes you a pure woman, the thing that this world does not have very many of. A woman, a whole and complete woman, one filled with beauty, one who can hold her hair, her inward beauty, I mean, one who could walk down the street with her head held in a way that will draw the attention toward the godly from the ungodly men and the women around this world. They will draw the attention, make unholy people think holy thoughts as you walk down the road. It will do that. I think about the way the devil uses that pure natural desire to have love and attention. Dear soul, today, if you have that desire, give it to the Lord. He will give you the love and attention that you desire. He will fill your soul and satisfy you where you won't want to give your body away and have those kind of things happen to you. He will give you your desire. And then someday, as you grow older and old enough, He will give you a companion that will not love you just for the way you are, for the way you're shaped. He will love you for what you are inside. Way down deep inside, He'll bring you together and you'll love each other for those kind of reasons. And you'll have a deep and satisfying love. You won't have to bicker about the things the little things. You can have a deep understanding of one another. I love what's in you, and I pass over those things that may not be so lovely because I love something in you so much that, oh, what a wonderful thing it is. Amen. Dear sister, today, it seems like I have such a concern for the young women that they live in a godly way. Oh, have a godly attitude inside your heart. It seems like when I see a young girl who's dressed modest all of her life, suddenly throw it all down and dress in an ungodly way, there's been something in her heart for years and years and years. The natural desires of vainglory and pride and things like that, the devil will use them as soon as you feel free and on your own, lay it all down, and I can dress any way I want to. You're doing something that's very dangerous. You're cutting off your womanhood. You're ruining it and robbing it. You're robbing yourself of the virtues that when you take those marriage vows and you say, I promise to have all the womanly virtues. How can you have it when you have robbed yourself of them before you even come to that marriage altar? Oh, dear ones, today, if you are not saved, young men, I don't know. I don't understand a lot of things that take place in your minds. I understand more about the young sisters because I am one. And I realize that there's a desire to be beautiful. Oh, let the Lord beautify you. Let Him, it says He will beautify the meek with salvation. He will take you and make it glow about you because every day you come before Him, you have victories in your life. It'll put a glow on your face. It supersedes Revlon and Avon and all that. It'll be such a glow. It'll shine out. You'll be beautiful. You'll be beautiful. I say you will be. It's something that, oh, the world knows nothing about. And I feel so sorry for them who think that satisfaction is gained in things. And the way I look and all, satisfaction comes from inside your heart, dear ones. Inside, way down deep inside. Oh, I feel like I've relieved myself. And if anyone, souls, we love you. I had one more thing I wanted to say. It burns me so much. I've heard this from a lot of souls that are not saved. They said, if we would have only been accepted more among the young people who were saved, and if we could have had, if people would have shown more attention to us. And I just want to say, I'm sorry for that. I don't know what to do about that. There's things that we want to help souls, and we want to be with you, and we want to be your friend, but we don't know how. Sometimes we'd like to. You put off a front, and we're resisted by that front, yet deep inside you have this desire. And sometimes we don't have enough understanding to know that. And I want to say, I'm sorry. I would like to be your friend and to help you. I know you know I do, and the rest of us would too. It's just that sometimes we just don't know how. We think, well, we want to be in the service, and someone else that's not saved doesn't want to be in the service. And we clash, and we don't know how to really get along here. But we want to. We want to be friends with you. It's not nothing. It's not anything that we just can't stand someone who's not saved. That's not it at all. There are things about every unsaved person that are beautiful and desirable. And friendliness and personality. There are people who are unsaved that have winning personalities and do good and things like that. But they're not saved. Lord, help us. And please forgive us. Young folks are not saved. If you have something like this in your heart against us, forgive us. And let me say to you, you have a responsibility for your own soul. If you would get your soul right and come before the Lord and start walking in His way, He said He will give to you brethren and sisters and mothers and fathers. You will find yourself environed and surrounded with a family who loves you. We love you now, but we sometimes don't know how to show it. I just pray the Lord bless you today. We love you this morning, and I know all the saints do. We're concerned that you don't go into darkness, that you start walking in the light. Let your soul, you who have been saved, you know the sweet experiences that I talked about. You know about those things. Now, give yourself back to the Lord. Let Him lead you again, and let Him conquer your life. Let Him give you a companion. Let Him lead you into your place in the church, and you will be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, where will you be? Maybe an anointed servant of the Lord. Maybe someone who helps in the kitchen. Maybe someone who works on the street with those who are drunk and on dope. Maybe a mother with several little ones, teaching them in the way of the Lord, happy in a marriage. That's where you will be if you will give yourself to the Lord. Where will you be 5, 10 years from now if you do not give yourself to the Lord? A divorcee out on the street, paying her own way, working, have a little apartment somewhere. Meet a young man who's desirable more than the one you left. Marry him, then have a desire to come back to the truth and cannot. 5, 10 years from now. Maybe 3 men. Maybe 3 women. Maybe you don't know the evil that will come to you if you don't give yourself to the Lord. Maybe on the streets of San Francisco, like Brother Lane. Can you imagine yourself there? When on your graduation night, as you stood there, you had high hopes and dreams. And we spoke of success and happiness. And here I am on the streets of San Francisco. Is this success? Is this happiness? You say, I will never do that. I will never be there. You cannot tell. Once Diabolus has entered into your soul and taken control and darkened your understanding, he'll lead you around by his little whip and by the ring in your own nose, by your own desires. And he'll just pull on you and lead you wherever he wants you to go, and you will go there. And you will say that I'm happy here. And deep inside, there will come back to you visions of those sweet days when the Lord showered grace upon me, and they will haunt you. And you will turn to drugs and alcohol to get rid of those visions. And you will have visions even in your drug experiences of those of high feelings and all. And they'll make you remember the camp meetings and all. Why? We don't understand why a soul will go away from the Lord. There are many reasons. What are some of them this morning? What is your reason? Check it over. Is it valid? Does it hold out? You have a longing inside. You have a soul. You have a soul yet. You've not destroyed your soul in sin yet. You still have one. Why don't you come and give it to the Lord? Let Him lead you. If you don't, you won't have a happy home. I know that. I don't see how in today's world of pressure and vice and lust and strife can anyone who is not saved have a happy home. I guess there are people some way that the Lord has mercy on that way. But I beg you today, come to the Lord and let Him fill your life with the sweetness and the purity. If you have been one among those sisters who have lost that purity in your heart, you could come to the Lord and He can get rid of the thing that caused you to do that. And He will make you eligible again to receive His graces. And young brethren, young men, if you've been overtaken too, plead with you, as all the young brethren here are saved, plead with you and wish that you would enjoy what they enjoy. We have fun. We have clean fun. We enjoy how we live. We actually do. It's a wonderful way to live. We have good times together. We laugh together. We play games together sometimes. We enjoy serious times together. We're able to talk about those things that mean the most of us around each other. When you're unsaved, you can't do that. You have a front that comes around you all the time. And the inner things that you feel are disguised and hid from those around you. Your friendships are limited because you have deep things in you that you don't want to tell. But among the saints and those who are saved, we're free and open with one another, and at times our deepest feelings run out like a well that's running, and it makes us happy and complete because we can express ourselves one to another in a testimony service, in a message, or in a prayer, or just in a handshake. We express love one toward another. It's a happy, fulfilling life. I beg of you this morning, if you would turn to the Lord, He will make your life like that. Don't worry about the things that you're leaving behind. Those things won't mean anything to you. Give the Lord a chance to lead you and direct your life. He will fill all the voids that you left, that were left in your heart. The Lord will come in and rule your soul once more. Pray for me that I never, ever, ever leave this way. I would be a fool. I'd be such a fool if I left this way that I love so much and enjoy so deeply. And tears come from my eyes sometimes when I think of how much I love this way. And I say, Lord, bind me to yourself. Just wrap me around this way, Lord, that I never depart. Pray for me.